D. Mace, Vingen, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Derek Mason, Adam Vingen here with you, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. And we are presented by Bet365. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Let's go to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend, our favorite dual threat quarterback, ESPN NFL analyst, head coach of the Ensworth Tigers, Tim Hasselbeck. Hello, Tim. How are you?
Doing great. How you guys doing?
We are doing well. Thank you. So I am incredibly curious to get your reaction to the news from yesterday that Will Levis will undergo season-ending surgery. So what was your initial reaction upon hearing the news? And now that you've had about a day to digest it, where is your reaction now?
Yeah, I think my biggest reaction is, wow, this timing is... Yeah, I don't know what the right word is, peculiar. That, you know, the timing seems really unfortunate to everybody, right? And here's why I say that is, you know, for Will Levis, look, he's a player that needs to improve, get better and improve. So to have surgery, you know, in July means you're going to miss the whole season versus, you know, a surgery that was done in January that maybe you could, you know, salvage some of the 2025 season. So for Will Levis, it's not great. And then for the team, it's not great. So yeah, obviously Cam Ward would be the starter, but you know, the idea that you have a guy that started games last year, a player that you thought enough of to draft him where you drafted him and, you know, would be somebody that at least makes you feel good about having an NFL experience and coming in to win a game or start a game and win a game. Now you don't have him and you're finding that out in July as teams are reporting to training camp. So like that's not great either. So I think, you know, it's kind of all around it's bad timing.
The word that Willie, Derek, and I landed on yesterday, Tim, to describe Will Levis's decision was strategic. How do you think other NFL teams will view Levis after this decision? And yeah, do you think that Will Levis with a repaired shoulder will generate more interest around the league?
Well, see, like to me, and I don't know if you guys like strategic means that like, hey, you guys did this to me. Now I'm going to do this to you. Kind of almost a retaliatory, hey, I'm going to have surgery now. And like I don't know if I'm a cynical person or not, but like, look, if you're a quarterback and you're having surgery at any time where they're going to go into your shoulder and cut things up and fix things, that type of stuff, like you better need the surgery. It better not be just purely elective. Does that, do you know what I mean by that?
So yes. Like,
I want to give Will Levis the benefit of the doubt on, look, if you're letting somebody cut your shoulder open and check it out, like you probably need surgery if you're a thrower by trade. Like I think that to be the case. So, you know, so I don't know if it's strategic or, look, I thought this was going to get better. I thought I could do it. I can't. Like, I do need to have the surgery now. Like, I kind of feel like, I don't know. I don't want to put it on the, hey, he did this on purpose, you know, with timing on purpose. And look, I say all that because I don't think that any quarterback is more attractive post-shoulder surgery. They're not, whether you're playing or not. You're not. Look, after neck surgery, Peyton Manning was less attractive to people. So I don't think this helps, you know, I don't think this serves Will Levis in a positive way in any fashion.
I think, Tim, quickly, I think it does in a sense. I understand what you're saying about, listen, if it's strategic, then it needs to really be, you need to have surgery and get it done with. I think this, a lot of it has to do with, one, him saving face in a sense. And then two, it's about free agency next year because I can't see under any circumstance unless Cam Ward plays the season and he doesn't show any development whatsoever. But outside of that, he's not on this roster. So if in his mind he believes and his camp believes that, hey, listen, more than likely we will be on another roster. Let's make sure that we are fully healthy and not try to rest this thing. Because if we rest it, it hadn't gotten better up now, and we rested it 3 months for 3 or 4 months. What makes it what tells us it's going to get better if we don't have surgery?
Yeah. No, you definitely could be saying, like, hey, we're trying to be healthy for when we're competing for a job maybe a year from now. That's a very valid and fair point.
I think that's where I was going with it, Tim, at the risk of sounding conspiratorial, that Mike Borgonzi and Chad Brinker just said at their news conference that Will Levis was a full participant in the off-season program. So perhaps Will Levis, after he left the off-season program, took stock of his situation, understanding that he wasn't really going to compete with Cam Ward. So perhaps by electing to have the surgery, he's removing himself from the situation, buys himself a year to perhaps put a better foot forward next year.
Yeah, but I think, but you don't have surgery unless you need it. Mm-hmm. So I would say that. So, like, everything that you said is true. And I think that's true alongside, well, he probably does also need shoulder surgery. So, hey, you know, go through and, like, just don't compete for the job. Be the backup. And your shoulder is probably going to need to be repaired at some point, by the way. Like, so I think in that regard, like, he probably is like, I need this to be done because it needs surgery. I would also say this in terms of next year for him. While a shoulder that no longer needs surgery is definitely better for him than a shoulder that needs surgery. But a quarterback coming off of shoulder surgery, in nobody's eyes, all 32 teams, is going to be more attractive than a guy that did not come off of shoulder surgery that played some this year. So I'm saying that to say that, and Will Levis knows that, and his representation knows that. So that's why I think, like, he obviously needs a cleanup of some sort in his shoulder, because he's not going to be more sought after. There's not going to be a better market for him taking a year off and having shoulder surgery.
Yeah, you're exactly right about that. You can even go back many years. You can see with Drew Brees and why the Miami Dolphins, you know, even though who was the coach at the time?
Saban, though
Saban, you wanted him bad, the Dolphins front office was scared of the shoulder. Now, Drew Brees went on to have a Hall of Fame career with the New Orleans Saints. But you're right, you know, especially with a guy like Will Levis, who at that point, Drew Brees did some things with the Chargers. Will Levis hasn't done anything, you know.
Yeah, look at Nyheim Hines,
exactly.
The returner. Mm-hmm. Like, he was a great player. Gets in a jet ski accident, misses a year. Like, he was one of the premier return men in the league. And then all of a sudden, you know, he's coming, misses a year of football, had the knee injury. Like, I think he just signed with the Chargers or somebody. But, hey, we'll give you a shot. But, like, it wasn't like there were a bunch of teams knocking down his door to sign him. So I think the market will be kind of a similar market for Will Levis a year from now.
We'll talk with Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst and head coach of the Innsworth Tigers, who are about to get their practice season going on pretty soon here, right?
Heat acclimation right now.
Okay.
94 degrees, you know, but throwing that heat index,
okay. Steamy. You just prompted me to ask you a question. Heat acclimation. We didn't do that when we were little, Tim. They just threw us in the heat. Acclimate yourself as we're practicing. Come on, Tim. Heat acclimation.
Hey, listen. We got a kid, like, he's catching 3 baseball games today. But, yeah, he's not allowed to come on the field with us because he hasn't heat acclimated. And I'm like, wait a second. That poor kid's playing baseball in, you know, Georgia heat right now. Mm-hmm. With equipment on. Hey, listen, we're trying to keep them safe. So, yeah, heat acclimation phase right now, D-Mate.
Well, that's a good one. Good for those kids. But getting back to the Titans, L'Jarius Sneed, now he will start the season on PUP. Bergonzi Brinker said he will be week to week, as will Cushenberry. But with L'Jarius Sneed, it seems like there has been this lack of communication, because on one end, you hear the player, which I get it. The player is going to try to put forth the best foot as far as his health. L'Jarius Sneed, when asked the question, you know, earlier this summer, he said, I'm healthy. I'm as healthy and ready to go as I've ever been. And then now you start camp on PUP and you're scheduled to start the first game of the year, but we don't know when you're going to practice. It just seems to be a little bit of a miscommunication. Not to say that L'Jarius Sneed was wrong by saying what he was going to say, but it just seems like he and the team are not seeing eye to eye on his injury.
Yeah, or maybe they actually do see eye to eye, but they haven't communicated with each other on, you know, being in unison in terms of the messaging, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and I think you know that too. Like, sometimes, like, a guy's good, and they're like, hey, man, but here's the deal. Like, we're going to take this slow. So, like, we know you've been cleared. We're not going to race this thing back. So, we're going to start you off on PUP, and, you know, but so somebody comes and asks him, how you feeling? Like, hey, man, I'm good. It's like, no, man, like, we talked about this. We said that we're going to take – so, I think that can happen. I'm not saying that is what's happening, but I think there's a combination of, hey, okay, like, are we on the same page with how somebody is health-wise? Typically speaking, it's the player saying – hey, no, I'm not ready yet. And the team being like, no, we think you are. So, like, this feels different in terms of that. And then on the flip side of it, it's, you know, from the communication standpoint of it, like, all right, is everybody, you know, on the same page with, you know, what our messaging is? And sometimes that does fall through the cracks. But I don't know. I mean, there's part of it for me, you know, veteran, proven player that you just say, look, let's everybody take a breath. Like, do we think he's going to play when we get going? And if everyone's kind of on the same page with that, like, rather than, hey, at the beginning of training camp, you know, reading too much into it, that's how I feel at the current moment, even with the mixed signals.
Do you, getting back to the quarterbacks, do you think they bring another quarterback in that will compete for that second spot, or do you think they will bring a guy in just to be another camp body, another arm? Because they got Allen, obviously, and he seems to be the backup right now. Tim Boyle, is he going to be on the team?
I'll tell you what I would do. There are guys, I don't have it in front of me right now. Like, you saw Case Keenum just recently signed with somebody, right? Mm-hmm. There are guys that that are out there. Veteran or a younger player didn't work out somewhere, like whatever it is, right? There are guys out there that I would say, look, I'm not handing the job to a relatively unproven backup. I'm not doing that. Like, I'm creating competition in my room. It's good for Cam Ward to see better play, better performance at practice. All of it. So I want competition in that room if I've got a rookie quarterback, plain and simple, period. So, like, that's, like, for me, no, I'm trying to get as much competition in there as possible. And, look, who knows what it means? Like, and I'm not saying you need to trade, like, valuable resources to make it happen, but Cleveland's got a bunch of quarterbacks and got some veterans. The Giants, you know, have a more crowded room than you thought. And so, like, if I'm a Titans fan, do I feel better if Jameis Winston's on the roster than if he's not? Yeah, I do. I do not think you stand pat with where it is and just bring someone in for camp.
Well, Tim, the best available quarterback on the free agent market is Carson Wentz.
Yep.
What do you think about Wentz in that scenario that you're detailing?
I'd bring him in. Like, I'll give you an example. Like, I'm at the Giants. Eli Manning's the quarterback. He's a young quarterback. I think I forget that year if it was like Jesse Palmer who had been the backup in New York for a little bit. Like, they brought Rob Johnson in. Rob Johnson was a starter in Buffalo for a while. It was kind of getting later in his career. And it was like, look, we're not just going to hand this job to me, you know? So, like, like, let's bring in veteran competition for him. And look, and if you don't keep him, great. But bring in competition. And if you're Carson Wentz, like, you should look at it and go, yeah, wait a minute. Like, that's a division that's winnable. Like, let me go there. And if Cam Ward, you know, hits his thumb on someone's helmet, I'm the starter. And I have a chance to resurrect my career. So I think there's value in bringing in a veteran player that started games before. And I would absolutely start to, you know, figure out which direction I wanted to go. But Carson Wentz would absolutely look, just like Case Keenum is somebody that I'd be like, yeah, bring that guy in.
You mentioned the Browns. How do you handicap that quarterback competition as the Browns start training camp?
Yeah, I think the starter for week one is either Flacco or Pickett, just because I think they'll perform better this time of year. Stefanski does have to win or he's going to get fired. And then I think how the reps go after that are going to be are probably going to favor Gabriel. And so, like, look, I think those are the three guys that make the roster. Could they keep four? Maybe they do. Maybe somebody, you know, wants Flacco or Pickett. Doesn't put the trade together for them. And I think in that case, you know, you could have one of those veterans and then the two rookies. But, yeah, limited preseason, limited opportunities for reps and snaps. You know, like if I were to say, like, okay, one guy's not going to be on the team when the season starts, it would be Shurter Sanders.
Two quick ones before we let you go, Tim. Will the third regime be the charm for Trevor Lawrence and the Jaguars this season?
Meaning they win the division?
Or Trevor Lawrence
blossoms
under Liam Cohen. And,
like, balls out and everything changes?
Mm-hmm.
No, I think we'll see maybe a little more consistency and improvement. I don't think they win the division, and I don't think it's one of these things where, like, every question on him gets answered, no.
And the last one for you, Tim. Which offense in the AFC West will be good enough to challenge Kansas City in 2025? Las Vegas, the LA Chargers, or the Denver Broncos?
I would say, because I do think Denver's going to be better. Bo Nix played better than people realized. I think the Chargers are going to be one of these teams that becomes really, really physical, and their physicality is going to be problems for people. I just think that that's the direction that it's heading for the Chargers. So I'll go with them. I might be a year too soon, but I'll go with the Chargers.
Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, head coach of the Ensworth Tigers, joining us on D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, as he does every week. Tim, good luck with the heat acclimation. Sounds terrible.
Take care of them kids.
Hey, listen, I'm going to do that. And then D-Mace, just be careful of Coldplay tonight.
Okay. All right? I'm not going to Coldplay.
Okay. All right.
Thank you, Tim.
See you, fellas.
615-737-1025. That's right. The Coldplay concert is tonight at Nissan Stadium.
You know,
so again,
how many memes they've done.
No side checks. No side checks.
Man, they're gonna be trying to catch somebody.
Or side pieces.
Yeah.
You might have. What do you call a side? You know, what do you call? What's the male version of a side chick? Is it just a side piece?
A side dude. Yeah, I guess.
I don't know. 615-737-1025. Nevertheless,
side chick or side dude.
Yes.
Watch yourself. At the Coldplay concert.
No side pieces.
Yes.
615-737.
On the entrees.
Indeed. 1025. We will get back to your reaction to Chad Brinker and Mike Borgonzi's news conference. What did you hear in that news conference that stood out to you that you want us to discuss? Let us know. 615-737-1025. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025, 1063. The game.
How'd they do? How do you feel about how the guys came back?
I mean, whether you were in a coma when I answered Tom's question or typing on your phone or tweeting, I don't know, but I spent 5 minutes answering that question and I can go back through it, but I'd rather not.
Oh boy. 'Tis the season. Mike Vrabel,
yes.
Snippy with reporters in New England.
That was New England?
That was today.
New England. Oh,
yep.
My
in
goodness.
New England.
I thought you were pulling up clips on the Titans.
Nope, that was from today.
He's still at it, huh?
Yes.
Nothing's changed. Oh, my goodness. You got to love Braves, man. You got to love Braves.
You can take Mike Vrabel out of Tennessee.
But you can't take whatever's in him out of him.
Yes, that is true. Also.
That's that Ohio in him. Isn't he from Ohio?
Yeah, he's from I believe he's from Ohio.
Pennsylvania, Ohio, one of them? I don't know.
He's from that area of the country.
Yeah, Northeast.
But because he spent so much time playing for the Patriots, I associate him with Boston, even though he's not a Bostonian. By the way, some sad news to pass along, not sports related. Ozzy Osbourne has died. Has died at the age of 76. So, for you Ozzy Osbourne Black Sabbath fans out there,
I just remember
the Prince of Darkness unfortunately has left us at the age of 76.
I just remember the show. That's where
Sharon!
That's why I got to know, Ozzy Osbourne.
That was a different type of Ozzy Osbourne that everybody else had gotten to know during his career. But unfortunate news about Ozzy Osbourne.
Also, Mike Vrabel's from Akron, Ohio.
Okay.
There we go.
The land of LeBron.
That's that Midwestern in him.
But we know that it's football season because Mike Vrabel is chastising reporters for being in a coma or typing on their phones or So we have more reaction to Chad Brinker and Mike Borgonzi's news conference at 615-737-1025. Wes in Clarksville says, to me, Snead coming here was just a money grab. Reminds me of Julio Jones. A lot of people...
A money grab?
Yes. A lot of people...
He didn't have anything to do with it. He was traded. It wasn't like he signed as a free agent. He was traded. He had no say in it. He was traded here.
Well, you could say he did have a say in it because do you think the Titans would have made the trade had they known that L'Jarius Sneed wasn't going to sign with the Tennessee Titans?
There's no player that I have – there hasn't been that I know of any player that has said, a really good player, I'm not leaving. Y'all going to trade me. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not signing an extension with the other team. No. This ain't basketball. This ain't baseball. Our money isn't guaranteed. So when they trade you and they say you're going to get a contract done, hopefully you get the contract done. If you don't, then the next following season, you can make the decision on whether to sign back with the team or not.
Jonathan on our text line says, I didn't like Chad Brinker before, and after that news conference, I don't like him even more. He just likes to hear himself talk, and I'm pretty sure somebody asked Borgonzi a direct question, and Brinker literally started talking before Borgonzi could answer the question about being a first-time GM.
Well, I mean, listen, regardless of, how the sort of titles arrange themselves, Brinker is supreme lord of all football.
The supreme ruler of football, Chad Brinker.
Supreme ruler of football, so... With that being said, that's why he took over the answer because he's the supreme ruler of football. And there were a few that Borgonzi, passed over to Brinker, and vice versa. So, man, it's a hard crowd, boy.
What did you think of Tim Hasselbeck's suggestion that the Titans do bring in an experienced quarterback to provide Cam Ward competition on the roster?
I like the addition of a veteran quarterback, but not fully for the reasons that Tim Hasselbeck, or one of the reasons that Tim Hasselbeck says. It's not competition necessarily for Cam Ward. I think you want to create that competition for that backup position. Now, you hope that, Cam Ward, he's a self-motivator. So you hope that he doesn't really need competition to elevate himself. But we know if you do have the competition, typically the best guy is going to win, which means you hope that the position is better than what you originally thought. So, but I think wholeheartedly bring in a veteran guy, but that veteran guy is to help push, So again, you can have a good backup. You always want to have a guy that can come in and win you 2 to 4 games at least. And, the concern is Brandon Allen hasn't done much in his league.
10 career starts.
Yes, he hasn't done much in his league. So you would love to have someone with, that is a little bit more seasoned, that can push Cam a little, but it's not pushing him to challenge him for the job, but it's just to push him so he can get better, you know, showing him, you know, how to be a pro, showing him things to do, how to truly, you know, watch film. And they're going to teach him all that stuff, and I'm sure he does. But you want that veteran. That's what I mean by pushing him mentally.
So last month, it may have been even 2 months ago at this point. I think it was last month. We played a clip from your old teammate, Joe Flacco, from Browns camp, talking about being a mentor. Mm-hmm. And if I recall correctly, you said that the mentorship aspect of a veteran quarterback who's who might be a backup. Joe Flacco could end up starting for the Browns. But the idea of a veteran quarterback coming in as a mentor is a bit overblown.
In today's football, I think it is. Because I think people look at being a mentor as sitting a guy down, talking to him, guiding him through, you know. And some of it is. I get it. But in the world of sports, a lot of times mentoring is just doing your job and that young guy watching you because you've had success in this league, doing your job the way it's supposed to be, being professional. That young kid sees that. And when he asks you a question, you give him an answer if you have one, or you steer him to someone or play where he can get the answer if you don't have it. That's what you know, being a mentor is. You don't necessarily have to go out of your way to, oh, you need to do this. Come here. No, it's watch what I do. If you ask me questions, I'm going to answer them all day. But watch what I do.
Here's my other question in regards to that. So let's just say, for the purpose of this conversation, the Titans sign Carson Wentz.
Yes.
That's not going to happen. But let's just talk about it for the sake of this question I'm going to ask you. Carson Wentz has started, what, close to 100 games in the NFL. He's played MVP-level football in his career. Now, that part of his career is over, but he did that at one point. Brandon Allen, again, has started 10 games in his NFL career. Tim Boyle has started 5 games in his NFL career. Do you think it would be better for Cam Ward to have the presence of a backup quarterback who has performed at a high level in the NFL versus two backup quarterbacks who are journeymen at best? Do you think that matters at all in the development of Cam Ward?
It all depends. Listen, journeymen sometimes become great coaches. You know, they become great offensive coordinators, really good coaches. So it's, I don't want to sit here and say, you know, not journeyman, because a lot of them get into college, coaching, and they are successful coaches, whether it be at the college ranks or at the NFL ranks. I look back at Ryan Tannehill, Neil O'Donnell, guys like that, that came in here that had proven themselves. Neil had led his team to a Super Bowl. Ryan Tannehill was a damn good quarterback. They went to the playoffs while he was there. I look at those guys, and when they came here, they were told, you are the backup. You are the backup. That's who you are, because we got a young guy, whether it be Steve or who was the quarterback at the time, Marcus, whether it be one or the other. We got a young quarterback, but you're just there. And then so happens, you know, both of them get an opportunity to play because one get injured, and then Ryan Tannehill says he ends up being a starter ultimately. But that wasn't Neil's case because, again, Mac's our guy. You're the backup, and we'll go from there. And if you bring in a Carson Wentz, it needs to be told to Carson Wentz, you are the backup. Carson Wentz now understands that my job as the backup is to prepare as best as I can and to help the young quarterback any way I can. If it's just, you know, showing up early and being there when he gets there, or, you know, like I said, showing him plays that you ran or that may be similar to what y'all running and how he saw it, That's what it's about. And if he asks me a question, I'm gonna answer it. That's what that mentorship is about. But it's not about, oh, I'm competing with you for the number one job. I'm gonna push you to get better. But everybody in the building has told me, and I understand by me signing the contract here, I am not the starting quarterback unless he gets hurt. That's it.
One texter says, is Tannehill a threat to sign a contract anywhere? I think that ship has sailed.
It may have sailed. You haven't heard Ryan Tannehill. You didn't even hear his name much last year.
Ryan Tannehill, I'm sure, was hoping to be last season's version of Joe Flacco. Mm-hmm. When a quarterback goes down, he's on the couch, he's ready to go. Now, Joe Flacco was so good in, what, five or six games mm-hmm. with the Cleveland Browns that he won Comeback Player of the Year, if I recall correctly. Mm-hmm. That opportunity did not present itself for Ryan Tannehill. He's been out of the league now for a full season. Mm-hmm. He turns 37 in less than a week. On July 27th, Ryan Tannehill will turn 37 years old. I think at this point, that ship has sailed. How many quarterbacks sat out a full season and came back to the NFL?
I'm sure there have been.
Oh, I'm sure there have been. Yeah. But I can't think of any off the top of my head.
Any off the top of my head. Because did Joe sit out a full season? I don't think Joe sat out a full season. Maybe half the season, I know. But full season, I'm not sure.
No, he was with the Jets in 2022. Then came back with the Browns in 2023 before playing for the Colts last season.
Okay,
he did not have a gap year like Ryan Tannehill had.
I can't, not off the top of my head, think of quarterbacks that were gone, at least not in recent memory, that starting quarterbacks that left the league and came back, you know, after a year.
Matthew in Nashville.
Outside of injury.
Matthew in Nashville says Michael Vick.
Yeah, Mike, you know, he had
that is
to,
true yes. because he sat out for two seasons.
But he
because
didn't he want
was
to
in
retire.
He was in prison.
Exactly. It's
he
not
was
like
in
he
prison.
Wanted to retire.
He was also much younger than Ryan Tannehill.
Yes.
He was in his prime.
Teddy Bridgewater?
Yes, you're right. Teddy Bridgewater.
Let's take a look. He kind of got in some sort of trouble.
Yeah, for paying, you know, for taking care of some students, helping them. So it's just a.
But I think to answer the texter's question, Ryan Tannehill, I think he missed his window.
Yeah.
He was hoping that he could be the Joe Flacco of the 2024 NFL season. It did not happen. I can't imagine a team is going to call up a 37-year-old quarterback who did not play in the league last season for a job. So I think Tannehill is effectively retired without actually announcing his retirement.
Yeah, because it's not like, you know, does Tannehill even want to come out of retirement? Because typically guys that want to come out of retirement, you see them throwing and clips of them throwing, still working out and still throwing the receivers that are in the league. I don't think you've seen any of that around Tannehill through this summer. Now, I'm not saying he hadn't been working out, but he hadn't put himself out there as if he wants to come back to the NFL. So that ship might be gone. It ain't turning around no time soon.
615-737-1025. We will continue to take your reaction all show long on the Titans. All right. We have a few minutes, guys, to prepare ourselves. Jared Stillman will join the program coming up next as we transition from DVD to Stillman and Company. I can only imagine what Jared, I know what Derek might say, but I can only imagine what Jared will say with all of the LeJarius Sneed news from the news conference, and we'll do that next. We'll get it over with. 615-737-1025, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025, 1063, the game. D-Mace Vingan and Donick, 1025, 1063, the game. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. Stillman and Company coming up next. Jared will continue the reaction to Mike Borgonzi and Chad Brinker's news conference, but we are joined right now by the aforementioned Jared Stillman. Now, Jared, it's not quite 2 o'clock yet, but I imagine
you changed your show.
I am waiting for you to unfurl a banner behind you that reads, "I was right about LeJarius Sneed." Are we going to have some sort of confetti, some banner unraveling of some kind at 2 o'clock?
Partially right.
I'm just wondering if that's going to come down on this program. On the boo-hoo, the Titans are telling us the truth. It's a quad. Hey, he took a helmet to the quad against the Colts in October. And God forbid you question it, as L'Jarius Sneed had another knee surgery in May. I mean, he had a knee surgery in like January. They just didn't report that. But he had, I guess, another knee surgery in May. So I think everybody owes me an apology on this program. And I think you people owe Carrington Harrison in Kansas City an apology, because before he got traded, Carrington Harrison said, the knee is that bad. I know you may think, oh, no, it's not that bad. And he said, no, it's that bad. We played that cut over and over again. The Titans traded for him. I trust Rand Carthon more than I trust you. And then you guys actually did trust him. You thought it was a quad. I mean, even yesterday, TD put up a report about how Sneed was going to be on the PUP list, and he listed it as a quad, because that's what the Titans have been lying to people about for forever. And one of us, not going to name names, didn't take the cheese.
Jay Stillman or Jared S., whichever one you prefer. As I said, Jared, I am remorseful over an action I may have participated in. That's as close to an apology as you're going to get. I am remorseful over an action I may have participated in.
Jared,
I don't believe an apology is forthcoming from Derek Mason.
Jared, I'm going to tell you, as I've always said, when it came to L'Jarius Sneed, especially this injury, I still do originally believe it was a quad injury. But No. Here's the caveat, because you go listen to everything that I've said about L'Jarius Sneed, and it will all be the same. It was a quad injury, but when you already got a pre-existing knee injury or pre-existing, you know, whatever it is with his knee, a history with your knee, anything you hurt around that is going to affect the knee. You get a deep quad bruise, it's going to affect the knee, because now he has to strengthen the quad, which he can't strengthen the knee as much because the knee is already hurt to a point now where he can't even play. So originally, to me, the quad was the original injury. But because of the severity of the injury, it did affect his knee. I never once said that the knee was never a problem. That I am very careful with my words when it comes to most things. Let's just say that. But you stayed on the knee. You stayed on the knee. And the knee is hurt. He had cleanup. What I'm sort of concerned about is the lack of communication from the Titans. He had this cleanup in May and no one said anything about it. And then all of a sudden now it's the guy says, I'm healthy and ready to go, best shape of my life, I'm in the best, you know, whatever in my life. And then you put him on PUP and say he's week to week. And now come out, well, he had a cleanup on a knee in May. Come on, Tennessee Titans. Come on, you can't ask for people to stay with you and believe you when you do this. The inconsistencies.
Is what I said in December when you three got on my ass about the quad, not the knee. I said, so you're just going to trust the Titans? Why are you going to trust the Titans? Remember when the Titans told Diana Russini they weren't going to fire Mike Vrabel? Mm-hmm. And then they fired Mike Vrabel? What did they do, Derek Mason, mm-hmm. to earn your trust? You're sitting here today like you're shocked. You're like, why did the Titans tell us? They lie to us all the time. I actually texted somebody from the Titans today who got on my ass about the whole quad knee thing. And I said, you, sir, owe me an apology today because I knew all along not to trust the Titans. Derek, you are too smart. You are too accomplished.
I
listen to you and I love you, but I listen to you defend these players. Yesterday, Will Levis, crap my pants.
I heard you too.
When you said, you basically said, yeah, you know, I don't know if Levis would actually be getting the surgery if he was going to play quarterback. Listen, but so did he quit? Well, I don't want to know that
He made a business decision. That's what he made.
Yeah, business decision to quit.
He didn't quit. He said, listen, I got to go into next offseason fully healthy because I'm still injured. The Titans are not – I'm not surprised that they did this, but my thing is how long are you going to keep on doing this and expecting the fan base to stick with you? That's my whole thing. So I'm not surprised.
How long can the Titans keep lying about things before eventually people get upset about it. Fans don't care. It's all about winning and losing.
Yeah, but when they're not winning, again, how long do you expect the fan base to hold on to you?
Well, I don't know if the fan base is holding on to it or not. I mean, yesterday I came out and said I expect 4 wins. And usually when I do that, you know, there's a pushback of like, oh, you're just a hater, Jared. And I was surprised at how little of that there was yesterday.
Well, I think people realize this is not a good roster. It's really not. And then you throw on top of the, you know, Sneed stuff, and then one of their guys retire. I know they didn't notice that, know that or put it out until today. But there are a lot of things going on within, you know, this roster that you hope they win more than what you said, 4 games. But people are looking at it like, man, they're going to end up getting another high pick, which means – you know, Brian Callahan is going to be out the door, which means they're going to have to start all over again, you know, developing a quarterback.
What do you make of the Brian Callahan peewee program, you know, from the offseason that he says is so transformative that Jeffrey Simmons decided to blow off, and today Brinker and Borgonzi were talking about it like it actually mattered?
Listen, they're trying to do whatever they can. Now, are people listening, you know? Probably not. It's probably going in one ear and not the other. I know it is with, you know, probably you and some other people. But he's trying to do whatever he possibly can to change the narrative of this team. When you're not a winning team, man, there shouldn't be anything you shouldn't do to try to make yourself, outside of cheating, make yourself a better team.
Do you even have experience? I started laughing when you said outside of cheating. Do you even have experience being on a team this crappy?
No. But that was last. I don't know how good or bad this team's going to be. But based on last year, no. I have never.
Did you hear outside the press conference today?
Outside
they know
of injury.
The team is awful.
Outside
they
of injury.
They know it. They basically said it. The Big Joe question. Do you think you guys can win the Super Bowl?
Well,
and like
Joe
the
was
dead
ask
silence
that.
For like 5 seconds. I'm like, oh, crap. I'm like, way to go, Big Joe. I mean, I don't think
he
they
threw
were
a monkey
ready for
wrench
that.
In it.
I mean, good God. They know this team stinks.
Well, this team isn't good. And the roster, if we're looking at it today, this is not a good roster because why? The guys from last year really didn't take the jump that you expected them to take last year. And then you got some young guys that are not proven. So you're looking at this roster and you got some hurt guys that you wanted to be contributors, big contributors, that were not. So you're looking at this roster and saying, man, it's not a good roster for all, take into account all of that. This is not a good roster. But they have an opportunity to change it. Now, will they change it? Who knows? More than likely, they will be picking high again. But that's why the question was asked, you know, when it comes to this team and patience and what you expect. He just kept saying development, because he probably knows, like a lot of people, that the wins may not be there because this roster isn't the way we're seeing it. It isn't as good as it needs to be to get the wins we need.
I do have it. Go ahead, Jared.
Want to apologize. I was not able to make it Saturday night. I was.
No. I got
this
you.
This is my
you, yeah.
First son getting me sick moment.
Oh, you're in store for some more, buddy.
Oh, yeah. Don't worry about it. You're in store for a few more.
I've come up with what I think were the 5 best Derek Mason moments as a Titan.
Okay.
And I want to know, A, if you remember these or if I left anything out.
Okay.
Number 5. I put your 9-catch, 137-yard performance against Buffalo, the game that Billy Volek had to play with a lacerated spleen because Steve McNair was out, and that game was critical for you guys to make the playoffs. I think it was – it's crazy that I remember this. It was the day that the Americans captured Saddam Hussein was the day that Derek had 9 for 137 with Steve McNair out of the lineup. And I thought you guys played, really stepped up for the team. That's number 5.
I like that one. Good choice.
Number 4, 90 yards on 7 catches in an AFC divisional playoff game at New England. You caught a touchdown pass and jumped on the ground in minus 10-degree wind chill weather, which had to hurt. And you also wore short sleeves during the game.
Remember that? Because we end up losing.
Why not long sleeves?
I never wore long sleeves, man. Because our thing was whatever you started camp with, that's what you wore throughout the year.
Isn't that kind of stupid? Like, no, what do you get really. Hypothermia at minus 10 degree wind chill?
See, it, for people that are not running around, it's cold.
He's made of different stuff, Jared. Don't you know that?
Clearly. That's why I think when he talks about LeJarius Sneed and Will Levis, he doesn't understand because they ain't built like him. You know the old saying, they don't make them like they used to. Number three, the 2000 season, when you had 2,690 all-purpose yards, that record is now number two.
Yes.
6 yards behind Darren Sproles. But an all-time all-purpose yards record in the history of the NFL, that's got to be number three.
Yep, I remember that game. I broke the record in Cleveland. It was a snowy day.
Number two, week six of 2003 against the Texans, 6 for 177, 3 touchdowns, 32, 46, and 50 yards. All I remember about that game was Steve McNair just threw you the ball, and then you ran down the field with it. I think Steve threw for like 500 that day. And that was when 500 meant something. And then I put number one, the kickoff or the free punt return in the AFC Championship game that really flipped that game over and led you guys to the Super Bowl.
I think all five of those are great.
Is he missing anything?
No, nah, he's not missing anything. Not in a Titan uniform. I mean, we can throw stuff in there, but I think
well, they didn't induct you into the Maryland Hall of Fame.
Not yet.
Not yet.
And I don't think they're going to induct you into the New York Jet Hall of Fame.
Definitely not.
Probably you're
nor
better.
The Houston Texans.
You're better off, I think, not being inducted into the Jets Hall
neither
of
the
Fame.
Houston Texans. So.
Adam, thank you for your apology. Derek, congratulations on the Hall of Fame.
Thank
and,
you, brother. Appreciate
it. Once again, I would say thank you for your apology. Because I know in spirit you really mean it, even if you won't say it and admit it.
As I said, I am remorseful over an action I may have participated in. But that will do it for us today. Jared will continue the conversation on Chad Brinker and Mike Borgonzi's news conference, as well as previewing training camp. First practice tomorrow morning. Derek Mason plans to be out there. We look forward to getting his takeaways tomorrow at 11. Stillman & Company coming up next.
Be love, love on your people. Have a safe, blessed, wonderful Tuesday. Stay out of this rain because it's going to start raining if it's not already. Peace.